Thank you.
Can we go to Casey?
Thanks.
Casey?
Yeah, I have a couple things. To follow up on Mark's comment about the consultant and going out to bid, you know, we should have in our nonprofit procurement policies, which we'd asked for quite a while ago, policies and procedures for how you go out to bid on consultants. And I believe that you cannot sole source a consultant that was approved under 501c3 regulations. It was immediately was a person. You've got to go out to bid. And,
Casey, you broke up and I couldn't hear what you said. Can you repeat what you just said, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I believe that under 501c3 regulations, when you have to go out under your procurement policies, you've got to go out to bid, especially when someone that was bidding was previously an employee. And I also think that those policies need to include that you're going to give priority to minority and women-owned businesses, even if they're sole proprietors. So I just wanted to mention that. I don't know who the person was or is or anything like that, but I did want to mention that you just can't, as a 501c3, move someone from an employee status to a consultant status without going out in your procurement policies. And I hope that eventually we're going to get those procurement policies, a copy of them. The other thing was that, you know, Mark was kind of talking about the $20,000 in grants income and saying that that was too low, but I gotta say that I understand what Lonnie's doing there. It's very scary to try to budget grant income that you don't have because you don't know what's going to come in and what isn't and when it's going to
hit the
books.
And how long it takes.
And how long it takes. And even, you know, even if it takes 10 months, it may not even go into the next fiscal year. So, you know, I hope everyone understands that what Lonnie's doing there is safe and prudent. And that, you know, I wouldn't budget any grant income that I didn't absolutely know I had and when it was coming in. And then I just have some questions here on some of the stuff on the national office. I'm looking at, like, the positions, and I see that there's a CFO, a controller, and an assistant controller, which are all, I'm assuming, fairly, you know, high-level positions, but you don't have anyone budgeted for accounts payable. And I'm wondering, you know, if we're looking at fiscal responsibility, why is it we're keeping the highest paid folks? And what the thinking is behind that. A CFO, a controller, and an assistant controller, is that's quite a bit of high-level stuff. And then I noticed that even though we don't have an accounts payable person, we have a payroll person, but don't we contract payroll out? Isn't that contracted out to, like, paychecks or something like that? So how does that work? And then I also see that there's this internal auditor training. And so I'm just wondering what that position is. I didn't know that we had an internal auditor, not on payroll. So I just...
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, we have a very high-level staff for Pacifica for a lot of reasons. The auditor recommended these positions. If you recall, when Pacifica was in trouble and in debt $3.4 million and the books couldn't be reconstructed, the auditor says, you need high-level people here. Mm-hmm. And he gave a specific staffing list, which we sort of followed. He recommended that we get a CFO. Here I am. He recommended that there be a controller, and the controller is the one who manages the books of input from people from five different stations. Now, what had happened previously at Pacifica was that the caliber of the people at the business level was not that high. The station and the network was in trouble because the books were not professionally kept.
It was a joke.
Now, what also happens is that so the controller is the person we have to make sure that the GL is properly done each month. And that's very important at Pacifica because somebody's on vacation, or in this case, Kay was without a business manager for 8 months and had three different business managers in the last year and a half. That creates chaos in the network. A whole network gets crippled because a single station, or any station for that matter, doesn't have a business manager. And that you can't have. You got to have people who back that up. So what we did is we were doing Kay's books, or at least supporting whoever was there, for the last year and a half. And that's very bad. That's not good. the assistant controller is really not an assistant controller. She's doing our payables because we have to double these jobs up to save money. That's why there's no money in the accounts payable position. We combine them. She's really doing our payables. That's Lynn. Everybody that knows Lynn knows what she does for this network.
She's awesome.
She is something. I'm telling you.
Something else.
The internal, so the payroll person is doing payroll for FIA, farming out ADP, but it has to be gotten from five different stations. So it's not like a single payroll with people in one spot, and there's a little more to it because she helps out with other stuff. Remember, everybody here is cross-trained. Everybody here is doubling up on jobs. Now, the internal auditor was also recommended by the auditor for the simple reason that the books at Pacifica were in bad shape. The board did not keep the books. The stations in 01, 02, whatever, didn't keep the books properly. And so a lot of that work, 3 years, everybody's forgotten about 01, 02, 03, but we haven't. We're still dealing with it. We're still restructuring books from that period, and that's why the interdepartmental stuff is still with us.
Lonnie, just quickly, how does this relate to Donna's proposal for an internal auditor who would also audit the stations?
Donna's training is with the Department of Defense. It is not relevant to a nonprofit whatsoever. And also, there is no procurement requirement for 501c3s in the state of California. That's only when you have a government contract. We don't have a government
contract. Just a quick question about that internal auditor. Is that person who's going to just be internal doing national office, or are they going to review all the stations as well?
That person reviews all the stations every month. That is Alvin.
Right. You can see his name all over the financials in the comments sections.
He audits every station each month because what we get is not necessarily accurate every month. Somebody has to go over every entry by every station to make sure it's accurate before it goes into our books. When you wanted that report on interdepartmental transfers, that was 400 pages of spreadsheets. Alvin did that. Did that work?
Was that always his title, internal auditor?
I just didn't know
we had someone there.
No, you have to. Pacifica is not. You're a media outfit. You got reporters that don't like to do receipts. You got GMs that are busy and don't necessarily.
All right. We don't need to hear all this on the screen.
you know what I'm talking about. So somebody's got to do that work every month, clean it up, make sure these books have some integrity. So. And every one of these people have been directors of finance. I'm a Berkeley MBA. I've done many, many organizations. So you got
Lonnie, I'm not questioning any of the people. I just didn't understand the whole setup. That's all. I'm not asking you to defend any of it.
I'm just trying to make the argument we're all heroes of socialist labor in here. That's my argument.
Did that answer your questions, Casey?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, now we have a decision to make because, as Lonnie noted, we did go over. I think we do need to deal with some of the salary issues in executive session. The remaining items are the PRA budget and the station budgets. I think we can do – I'd like to suggest we do the station budgets first and try and go as quickly as we can, then deal with PRA or defer PRA till our meeting on the 16th, and then go to executive session to deal with some issues on the salaries.
Do the station budgets on the air.
Yeah, we have to do the station budgets on the air. I think we can do them quickly. I'd like to move to them and then do the PRA budget on the 16th. That would give us more time to look at it, too, because I don't know if anybody's really looked over it. Would that be acceptable to people?
Great idea, Dave.
All right, if there's no objection, then let's go ahead with that. And station budgets. Hold on, let me get back to what was proposed. Okay, station budgets. Okay, we've done, am I correct, because I had to get off the call last time, we did KPFT and WPFW last week, leaving WBAI, KPFA, and KPFK, is that correct?
Yeah, those are the tough ones that I'd like to cover.
Okay, why don't you pick the one you want to deal with first, and we'll deal with that.
Could I just make a point of information, Smarty? You know, some people were saying that they didn't have comparisons to the 05 July and the budget and the actual. So while I've been sitting here listening, I've been copy-pasting it into the values spreadsheet, and I've just finished it. If anybody wants me to send it to them, I'll send
please
it to them if you want.
Please. That would be very helpful. Who would like to go
this
first?
This is Jane. I cannot.
I know you
can't,
Jane.
Maybe
we can do what we just did again?
Do from Marnie, huh?
Okay, got it.
As soon as I get it out.
Now, I've got some questions for these station budgets. I'd like to see if we can have a little different structures.
Well, what I'd like to do is to have the treasurers from each of the stations quickly review where they're at, and then we can have you ask them. Would that be all right?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? Oh, good. Okay, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. No. Why don't we start with Kay, since Kay is near and dear to my heart, and if no one else wants to go. Casey, can you weigh in?
What am I weighing in on?
Let us know our current situation, and the numbers that we are working with are not the numbers in the consolidated a draft that we got sent. So I think you need to address that piece of it. And
I think the numbers we're working with, according to my last conversation with our GM, are extremely close to. I mean, we're off by maybe $2,000 total on the entire budget.
Well, okay. Let me go because I have something specific in mind. The budget that Lonnie sent around was an earlier draft version, which shows expenditure exceeding revenue by $110,000, I think, and
right.
The use of surplus prior year to cover that difference, plus to make the 1 month reserve. And the LSB we consulted Eva about this, and we said, as an LSB, we think there's no issue or no problem with using surplus prior year to basically cover the 1 month reserve. But we do think there's an issue with not balancing expenditure and revenue in that year. And so we said that we needed to either raise revenue or cut expenditure. And Casey had noted that the benefits line looked to be about 38%, and which was high and unusually high, and she was going to talk to Lonnie about it. And so what we did was we endorsed a budget in which expenditure and revenue balance, in which we have the projected $2,850,000 in listener support, and we agreed that the manager would work to cut expenses so that they would be cut but still be consistent with the priorities that have been agreed upon for the station. And so my understanding was where we are in the process is Lonnie and Eva, there was an issue with the construction of the budget, just the mechanics, development worksheet, various links and things like that they were going to go through and work those up. And then we were going to get that budget back, and that budget was, according to Eva, going to conform to those two specifications, with the rest of it pretty much being as you've seen in your budget. So I don't know, and I, at least while I'm speaking, I'll address. Lonnie has said in his memoranda that there is a station and said KPFK believes the LSB should form the budget. Now, my understanding is we've never said anything of the sort. We don't feel that way. What happened was during the course of the development of the budget, one of our LSB members volunteered to enter numbers in because we didn't have the numbers available to even look at it. But my understanding is that it is a budget that is basically, well, I don't want to go into any of those semantics. The last issue is the issue of waiver, and I've emailed the board and an information request to Ambrose, which is, if I understand what you're saying correctly, Lonnie, about waivers, you're not saying that waivers are required simply if you're not going to show a surplus excess of 1 month, but you're saying that waivers are required for stations that want to use surplus prior year in their budget. And in the consolidated budget you sent around, in our budget, in KPFK, you added a line, surplus prior year, below the surplus deficit line. So you left the surplus prior year line that is in the cash and capital section empty and added it after the fact. So I'm puzzled by that. But Casey, now that I've said what I said, do you want to clarify how this budget happened and where we are, to your knowledge now, in meeting what the LSB endorsed in terms of spending and income?
Well, how the budget was developed. I mean, I'm also a little confused by the continuing statements coming out about, you know, us creating a budget. I mean, it makes it sound as though our LSP went off and created a budget on our own and gave directions to our GM, which wasn't the case. You know, our GM met with us every single time. She presented the initial documents and went over numbers with us. We looked at actuals for the previous year. We looked at previous year's budget, and we discussed them. So I'm still concerned because this is, you know, this has been ongoing, these kinds of comments. And, you know, I'm reading this last report that came out that says, you know, we have the word you used is a situation where LSB members work directly on generating and creating the budget. And from what I'm hearing from other stations, I don't think we did much different than any other station. So I'm not sure where all of this is coming from and why. But I know that it's been kind of a difficult thing to try to work through and try to have to keep going back over. So, you know, just to say that our first meetings were with our GM. She brought the documents. She brought down the books. We went line item by line item and listened to her recommendations. We took our the resolutions that were passed by our LSB with regard to direction for the station, goals and priorities for the station. Our GM, of course, was involved in those too at LSB meetings, and we budgeted those items that were included in those resolutions, as well as any items that the LSB was required to complete in the bylaws.
Casey,
so,
just a second. Jane, you can get that file. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, I mean, it was our process, and the thing about the spreadsheet was we did not have access to the spreadsheet. Our business manager, who was new, didn't have access to the spreadsheet completely. So we did start putting numbers in to a spreadsheet in order to get us up to speed, and so that we were trying not to fall behind. I will say that the process has been a little bit difficult, not among, you know, not with our GM or with our finance committee or our LSB, but just the fact, I think a couple meetings ago or maybe the last meeting, Jane used the word that the process was a little bit uninformed or not well informed, and I don't know if she was referring to the same thing I'm referring to, but I know that other stations had the same problem with thinking they were done, thinking we had things, and then finding out that there were worksheets. And you know, that set us behind, and I think that a good process would have been that someone, the CFO or somebody, would have, you know, in talking with the treasurer, said, look, here's how we do our budgets. We have specific worksheets that have to do with personnel, that have to do with development. You start with those, and they feed the numbers in, because now, and I believe the situation applied at WBAI as well, you know, you think you've got a good budget, you've worked very hard with a lot of people for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're thrown off of track. So, I think the budget was not, or the process was not a good process overall, as far as what we were provided and the information we were given and the tools we were given to work with. And that includes access to some of the information. So that said, where we are, as Dave said, was that our LSB has endorsed our primary numbers. Our finance committee met again last night. We went over some more things, and we still believe that our numbers are good. Our GM is, you know, really sticking with these numbers. We do know that there are a couple changes that still need to be made, because we understand that our CPB money is not what we expected it to be. So that'll have to change. We're still, as Dave said, not sure about these related expenses that go with the salaries. They seem high. I remember on our working group for race and nationality that we'd confirmed that we were, you know, the things were usually budgeted about 30%. And these are significantly higher than 30%. But, you know, that may be just a calculation in the worksheet. I may be off there. And there are a couple things like that, but we're pretty sure that we'll have everything clean and ready to go and approved on the 15th. Our big issue still, though, is the determination of that surplus and being able to use that surplus, putting it in. I noticed that, you know, on the budget that Lonnie sent out, most of our numbers are in there. Pretty much, you know, they're off maybe $3 or $4 here or there. I think the largest off was $1,800. Nobody felt, you know, when I was looking at these, I didn't see anything that was worth fighting over, except for the fact that our prior year surplus was still entered at a zero. So I don't get that. And we really do need to have some sort of a resolution on that in order to know where we're standing.
Quickly, Jane, did you get the file?
I did, thank you.
Okay. So now, Lonnie, did you want to ask some questions, and then we'll go to other members of the committee?
Yeah. I'll probably need as much time as Casey had on this one.
Go for it. But hopefully ask him his questions.
Ask him his questions? No, I'm making recommendations on your budget.
Okay.
I have problems with this budget as presented. And as it was processed, and what happened. And we've been given a chronology. So I want to give a chronology as I experienced it. We do budgeting every year. This is not a foreign process. And I didn't have an issue with the station's case, the one I'm having the most difficulty with this year. A lot of confusion, a lot of miscommunication. As you folks know, Ambrose and I specifically made a trip down to L.A. to talk to your LFB to try to clear this up so that you folks would hear clearly what our concerns were. Now, let me go through the chronology as we experienced it. Remember, Ambrose sat in all the budget meetings with your GM. It's not me sitting in a room doing budget. It's a collaborative process. First started doing the budget process, your GM was working with a brand new business manager who was having difficulty coming up with a budget. The general manager does not know how to do these budgets. The business manager you had at K did not know how to do the budget, so they called asking for help. In talking with the general manager through the issues and the problems, two or three things came up. One of them was that budget had a deficit, in case of $50,000, $60,000, after she had gone through suggesting reductions in various items. And some of those items are the ones I had a concern about, too.
Lonnie, can you clarify, when you're saying that deficit, do you mean less revenue than expenditure, or do you mean not showing an excess of revenue over expenditure of 1 month?
I mean revenue minus expense. That's a deficit.
Okay.
And that revenue is revenue to be generated in that year. It has nothing to do with prior year. You want to budget that revenue in that given year? That exceeds expenses. Now, the chronology, as I experienced it, was that she saw that reducing those expenses were necessary to balance her budget. This is what every general manager is concerned with. And even doing so, the budget was still unbalanced at $58,000. There were several items in that budget that were of concern to me and also to the new business manager there and to Ambrose once we looked at those things. And there were items in that budget that came to about $80,000. And I'm going to read them off and because I think they bring up issues for every station.
Lonnie, before you do that, when you say that budget, are we talking about a budget that's months old, or are we talking about...
Yes.
No, I'm talking about the budget that I went over with you folks down at L.A., showing you every budget I received from Kay. I went over it. I had it on a PowerPoint. I showed you the budget I had in mind.
Okay.
Remember? I went through every budget that I had received from you, showed you where the issues were, where there was a deficit.
And we've responded to a number of them.
Yeah, that was the budget. I put it up there on the PowerPoint and said, this is when I went there, I got a budget I'd never seen. And I said, it's not the budget that I've been working with the general manager on. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. I don't want to do that. Well, first thing, let me go through the issues. When I finished that budget work with her, there was a $58,000 deficit, not balanced, but close. I went then to do a follow-on budget meeting with her and I at Ambrose, and she said that the budget had been taken away from her, that it had gone back to the LSB.
What?
Can you tell us when this meeting occurred? I don't know, but let me just finish. That it had gone back to the LSB Finance Committee, and they were putting back in certain things that she felt, you know, need and should be reduced.
Hmm.
That's when I found that the budget wasn't in her hands, that there was a finance committee that was, in fact, generating this budget. And when I asked about that, sure enough, I got a budget back from KPFK that was not the general manager's budget, but was done by someone from the LSB by the name of Terry Goodman, and the numbers were totally different. And that's when I started to say, who's generating this budget? Who's in charge? And I brought it to this committee. I brought it to the finance committee and said, wait a minute, this is a very different process. I got someone I never heard of doing the station's budget. And name on the budget. The budget was signed by somebody named Terry Goodman.
Signed?
Anyway, so when
was
I looked...
Signed, Lonnie?
Yeah, they had a name on it. Anyway, when I looked at that budget, then I noticed that the budget was totally incomplete and inaccurate, and it just wasn't a budget. People had overwritten formulas. There's someone who did not understand the budget, and someone who had not done the budget before. Now, so that's a problem. We're still dealing with that problem. We have to go back and reconstruct a budget to fit the numbers that someone had just arbitrarily put into a spreadsheet, not understanding that there was a whole separate backup spreadsheet where all the detail on the assumptions were to be formulated. And I went over that with you and Casey.
And,
right,
and it was agreed that you were going to rework that budget. And,
well, I agreed
that
I would look at it.
No. You actually said you were going to go through and build that.
I shouldn't have to do your budget.
Now.
Lonnie, you told us not to touch it, and that you wanted to do that.
Let me finish my thought. I didn't interrupt you. I disagree with a lot you said, so please let me have my say.
I'm sorry.
So I looked at it, and the general manager, she said, well, they gave it to me to do. And she of course, wasn't able to do it. So I said, okay, I will work on the budget with her, and we are following our schedule, working through it. Now, what we have to do is we have to take the numbers that somebody arbitrarily put into listener support and then back into the assumptions to see if they make sense.
That listener support number was a number that manager specified.
Again, let me finish. Now, no one interrupted, Casey, so please let me have that same privilege. Now, let me get to my point. Aside from those structural issues, first there's a chronology, and I've spoke to that. Then there's a generation issue. I saw myself dealing with a budget from an LSB member whom I never met and who obviously didn't know how to do the budget. Then I had the structural issue, which is the structure of the budget. Now I'm going to go to the actual expenses that I had an issue with. And the issue is that I looked in the budget. As a matter of fact, I got concerns from people who sent it to me saying, look, in this budget is about $85,000. And here are the specific, I went over this with you and Casey. So this is not news. I went over with you and the LSB. And I'm bringing it to this finance committee. You got stringers were taken out. The news department introduced $40,000 worth of stringers as opposed to staffing the news department. I sort of understand that, and I wanted to get clear on it. We got $20,000 in this budget for outreach. These are new items. $4,000 for advertising. $10,000 for other development. What is other development? We don't know what's in that. $6,000 for major donor expenses. I sort of understand that. But then there is a training for volunteer programmers at $22,000 in this budget. And I, you know, what is that? That sounds like a brand new program. I've not seen that before. It is new to this budget. And it calls for 4 quarterly training sessions with 13-week sessions, 2-hour classes, 10 to 15 program participants. And the trainers are going to get $250 per session. That is a budget item I would question in any station budget. $50 ought to be paid to every participant in this training program. It doesn't say what it's for. There's no annotation. I went down to ask about this specifically. And was told that, the budget can't be changed, that the philosophy is that the LSB has you know, the responsibility for budgets, and it can't be questioned, it shouldn't be changed, or it shouldn't be no collaboration there at all. I went down to collaborate. Training materials, $4,000. Now, I'm almost finished. Then there's governance expenses for $12,000 for the local board. Now, here's a local board in 2004, had $634 for local board expenses, and is now proposing local board expenses to be at the $12,000 level. Well, naturally, I want to know how did that happen, and what's it going to be for? And I go through a lot of different things that this board has put into its budget. Then there's $4,000 in discretionary money that I've never seen a line item that said discretionary at Pacifica. That means it could be spent any way anybody wants. Now, I would have to vigorously object to that kind of line item. Then there's the last one here of $5,000 in this budget for seed money to initiate an RFP process for community projects, funds to be made available for community projects through an RFP process. And in talking over some of this, an additional theory has developed at Kay where surplus money can be in a drive, can be spent, similarly outside the budget process. All of this is very concerning.
Could you clarify the statement? What do you mean?
That my understanding, I don't want to get into.
Well, you said it. Can you just tell us who told you and what they said?
I want that if a drive were to produce monies above the drive goal, that those monies might be eligible to be used by the station for some project. I consider it an outside the budget item. I don't agree with that. I think that's a very bad precedent.
Who said this?
Who said it? I don't want to go into he said, she said at this point. So I don't want to be stopped from the narrative here. I'm about trying to finish up.
Well, you're making an attribution.
I would draw the comment if it's upsetting for you. Okay. I would draw the comment. Just let me finish. What I conclude, and my strong recommendation here, is that we need to talk about these. I went down specifically to talk about them. Ambrose did, too, to talk to this board and you and Casey about these issues in this budget, and didn't get very far. I went down there and was greeted with 35 questions and not exactly a friendly greeting. So I'm here saying these are of concern. We need more information about who and what will get these funds. These are new programs, and they need vetting. They need to be reviewed carefully. So my recommendation for the budget, and if we look at it from the point of view of these items, they need more detail. We can wrap, maybe that'll be easy, maybe that'll be difficult, but at least we need to have clarity on how membership money is going to be spent here and what is very new ways of spending money. Now, on the issue of the surplus prior year, the issue around the surplus prior year and the waiver is a very simple one. In the budget that I have from you, folks, if you take away the assumption that you're going to spend $384,000 from prior year surplus, you have a $110,000 deficit.
It's worse than that. If you take away the assumption of $2.8 million in listener income, we have a $2.8 million deficit.
Let's not be facetious. Let me finish. Let me just finish.
David,
this is true for every budget we've
done.
This is your first time doing surplus. It's not the first time for a station. And what this committee functions to do is to look at each one of these budgets and say, how much of prior year savings will this station need in order to balance its budget this year? In your budget that I'm looking at right now, you need $384,000. And should and has been passed quite a waiver, because you will have not only not have a 1 month without that money, you will have a positive deficit. Now, the same thing is true for A to a certain extent, and the same thing is true for I, so it's not unusual. So my final point is, when you look at where we stand with our three larger stations not being able to produce a budget that revenues minus expenses but requires use of funds from prior year, that has to be carefully discussed at finance. The board has to be carefully aware of it, because in your case, at K, what alarms me about it is that you won't have any savings after this fiscal. You will have used them to balance the budget this fiscal to get through. And, of course, if you have drives that have, you know, great double or triple, then maybe you won't need to use those funds. But as they're on paper, it looks like you're planning to, and you need to in order to meet the proviso. Now, what is my recommendation? My recommendation is that given overall that this network only has half the working capital that it needs, that we will have a problem September 30th, 2006. Each station, it doesn't have the funds that it needs at September 30th. We're just postponing a problem that's easy to see will happen September 30th. If there's a bad drive during the year, if there's more legal expenses, any kind of emergency, the CPB funding, which is threatened. I know many of you have seen the Tomlinson interview. It's focused specifically on Pacifica. That's very scary. So I'm recommending that each one of the wavered stations be asked to look again at getting that number down such that we can go through this year with less risk. So my recommendation for K is that the $384,000, it exhausts your savings, and that you need more of a cushion than that. And I would recommend having go down from, you know, from 384 to about 125,000. If you can reduce that from 384 by 125,000, getting down to about 250 or 260, that's more of a comfort zone. But anyway, that's my recommendation for the budget of K. The second one is, you know, when you have two or three people doing budgets, the budgets are done incorrectly, they're done late, and it causes mass confusion. My suggestion is let the GM do the budget in the normal way, present it to the LSB, and then have at it. But
Lonnie, you just said the RGM didn't know how to do the budget.
He did it, and he did it badly, is what I'm saying. I have that budget in my hand. It's not anywhere near what it needs to be. It's just, you know, numbers on a page. Does not have the backup. Okay, hold on. The expenses for the listeners to pour. We went over this, Dave. You and the Casey and I.
But we knew that there were those worksheets on August 8th. After we'd been working on this for many, many weeks. Why did it take till August 8th to
get
these worksheets?
Jane wants to say something, and I'd like to answer some of the things, and I think we should answer those. I don't want to get into, what we need as a committee to do is deal with the approval of these numbers, so it won't help us to, you know, do that back and forth about who, what, when. We should deal with the numbers that we've got. And I would like to respond to a couple points. Jane, would you mind if I respond and answer a couple things Lonnie said and then go to you? Lonnie, we agreed with you as an LSB that we should not be... So what I call a deficit is when revenue exceeds expenditure and not when revenue falls short of a 1 month if you don't include surplus prior year. So we recognized when we looked at it that we saw $110,000 of spending in excess of the revenue we generated in that year. And we as an LSB said, let us adjust this budget, or we asked our manager to be technical about it, to adjust for recommendations as to how to adjust the budget so that that current year revenue and current year expenditure match. And we said, do you want to raise your listener support projection, which is reasonable. Our actual 2005 listener support was $3 million. Our projected was 2.85. She said, no, we don't want that strain of having to perform at that level again. We may be able to get there, but we want to have a conservative estimate of revenue, and we will route out $100,000 of expenses so that the year's numbers match. Then we agreed that then we would include a surplus prior year amount equivalent to the 1 month reserve. So we go in with it and we go out with it. And the motion passed by the National Board says that you have to have a 1 month reserve at the end of each fiscal, and we will do that. We start it, and you and I, we've gone over this before. We agree that you can include surplus prior year monies in surplus prior year budget line, that the one-month reserve policy does not say that you have to recreate that reserve year after year. You don't have to always have more revenue by 1 month than you have expenditure. We took your point about the LSB expenses being $12,000. That came from recognizing that the costs associated with the general manager review, because we need to hire a temp to do that, and some of the town hall meetings came to about $8,000 this year, and we recognized that there might be additional expenses this year for things like venue and the rest that we decided to pull out of that. You pointed out that other stations, that we were the highest of the stations, and that there was another station with $11,000 in that budget line, so we decided to cut that by $2,000. The expenditures of $22,000 for training a volunteer are dwarfed by what KPFA spends on its apprenticeship program. And you're quite correct that it is a new program. One of the things we heard from all the volunteers and from the station manager was that the skills levels among volunteers was inadequate and the station needed to make a commitment to training. Doing it in the way we're doing it gives us no long-term commitments to any
and that,
of this.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that training budget, the money for that training program was based by our GM on a training program that she had done in South Africa. So to say that we took control of that and to put that in on our own, it was her budget. It's based on her program.
Right. So to continue, the point is that that is a real priority of investment to us and has a couple of features to it. One, if we run into any fiscal trouble during the year, you can just cancel those trainings. They can be pulled back out if you get into trouble. Two, it's a long-term investment in reducing your overall production costs because these are people who are volunteers. The $50 is because we're focusing it in low-income communities and communities of color for people who need, we've heard over and over and over again from the volunteers from those communities that we have, they need the basics to pay their expenses of getting around and getting the basic stuff. They need to be able to do that. So we thought it was a progressive thing to do. When you look at a $22,000 training program like that and compare it with, for example, the apprenticeship program in Berkeley, I think we're getting a lot for our money. You've made the comment that you understand about the stringers, you understand about the advertising, you understand about the development and the rest of it. I think our current position now is a point of agreement with you to reduce the budget by an amount similar to what you've cited. You said about $120,000. That's $110,000 that we were over this year, expenditure over revenue, plus a $10,000 difference of opinion about what the 1 month is. But we are in the process of doing that. Where we're hanging fire is we've been told for some time, and you said on the call you've referenced many times, that you offered to build those links in so that the mechanics of the budget would work. Our manager is confident that we can achieve this thing by the reductions in expenditure. And I'll leave it till we deal with the recommendations next week as to whether it is or is not a policy that waivers are required if you include surplus prior year to give you your 1 month at the end. The last thing I'll say is that you have our end-of-year cash for 2004 at, I believe, $360,000. We had zero surplus prior year last year, and you have our projection for the end of year being about $258,000 surplus. So $258,000 surplus by end of year plus the $390,000 puts you at about $650,000. And Baruti and I calculated this a couple of different ways and come up with an excess of about $650,000 by the end of the year. Your own cash projections from June showed $532,000 cash projection in the bank by the end of the year. So the inclusion of $290,000 out of that $532,000 should leave us not only with our 1 month intact, but with plenty of extra, not plenty, there's always demands on it, but with extra in the bank for whatever needs may be developed. Plus, we expect, my own personal expectation, is that our listener support projection is quite low because we have a new translator coming in Malibu, and that is going to get us a new audience. And our experience with the translator in Santa Barbara, similar demographic, was that that was very good for us. So I think it's a reasonable budget, and we look forward to getting the budget in the form that you need it in, as you've offered, so that we can review what Eva has finally done. And I'll leave it there and go on to
Marnie, you'd like
Jane.
To get on the stack for a point of information?
Why don't you do your point of information, and then Jane.
All right. I'm looking at the document that got sent, that's got KPFK, that I put all these comparisons. We don't seem to be talking about that one.
No, that was a draft, and Lonnie
okay.
did come down and make his comments about it, and the board responded to those comments, and
okay.
that's when we specified we want this current year expenditure and revenue to balance.
Okay.
Jane.
Okay, point of information, though, Dave.
Go ahead.
What you said. Did I hear you say that you were looking for $100,000 to $125,000 to reduce?
110 where we saw it before, and one of the issues, she was going to go over some numbers that she thought were actually overinflated with you, and that benefits line was one. And on our last call, I seem to recall you're saying too that you thought 38% was high. If it's 32% and 30 instead of 38, we're essentially there. But those were things that she was going to talk to you about, and then we were going to get this back. But in terms of the programs that you said were problematic, the training program and new stringers, those, I think there's general agreement between ourselves and management that those are crucial areas of investment this year that can be managed in a fiscally responsible way.
Okay, but a direct answer, will the budget that comes back be show reductions?
Yes, absolutely. That was our board endorsed reductions of $110,000.
All right. Okay,
okay.
I look
Jane?
I do not have that in hand, so I look forward to seeing it.
Okay.
All right. Okay,
Jane?
That answers my question.
Thanks. Jane?
At PSW, we were, I think, pretty comfortable with our business manager knows these templates, and I'm really shocked to hear that those weren't in hand before, you guys started into this. I guess I'm wondering. First of all, I'm confident that if you have a business manager on staff all this coming year, that next year is going to go a lot better. And I guess I just want some, are things going well with your business manager? Do they look like they're going to stick around for a while?
Do you want to answer that, Casey? Although, is that a personnel issue? Can we
no,
say that
I mean,
on the air?
We don't want to comment. We don't
no,
want
to. No, you don't have to comment on it. But I just, this whole conversation seems to, it seems to revolve around the fact that we're just really getting up and running with this whole process, and I'm glad that it sounds like we're coming to some agreement on it. But I do hope that we can shift most of these questions and blaming and everything to just working on our process for next year. That's all I want to say.
Marnie.
I didn't have anything more.
Oh, it was just information. Lonnie, you can go on if you like, but I'd suggest that we get to the other two stations because we're going to have to revisit this, obviously, when we get the finals in. So
yeah, and
up
you
to
know,
you whether you want to pursue it further.
Well, I was just Ambrose was reminding me that our parking garage closes at 7, so we need to do a time check to see how far we can get on our current agenda. And assuming that we even need, you know, about an executive session plus two more stations. So
Can we just get updates from BAI and
okay.
Berkeley, and then we'll go to executive session because there are a couple issues and salaries that we really need to address.
But could we have a time certain, Mr. Chair? We really get locked in at 7.
At 7.
Can't get our cards.
Okay, well, we've got about 22 minutes left. Can we say, would it be possible for you to call back in on your cell phones? We'll finish this off. We'll break and then go to executive session on your cell phone and spend no more than half an hour there.
Well, is it possible to add an extra hour for executive session at the beginning? Because there's a lot to absorb here. And I'll have more budgets, you know.
an hour at the end of at the beginning of the next meeting?
Yeah, either
way. Is that
way.
What you're asking for?
I think a lot of us want to talk about the national office in executive session sooner rather than later, with all due respect.
Shall we defer then the station, the WBAI, because I think KPFA and WBAI don't have issues of the sort that we just had to deal with. Can we defer those till the next meeting on the 16th and go to executive session to deal with the national office budget?
I'm happy to do it that way.
Is there any objection to
but
that?
But I reserve the right to come back to I and A.
We have to, but I think when I read what you've sent us, what I've seen, your greatest issues have been with K. We've at least addressed those. So is there any objection now to adjourning to executive session to deal with national office salaries? Okay,
no.
Hearing none, then we'll do that, and we'll deal with the other station budget stuff at the beginning of our meeting on the 16th.